Okay.
Oh, let's get going. We're at 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now, what's happening here is, remember, Solomon's actually building the temple now. His dad has died, which would have been King David. And so this king here is actually the third king. You had Saul was first. That's what you see in 1 Samuel. Of course, you have David killing Goliath, and David worked for Saul. He was sitting at his, he got to eat at his table, remember? And he was playing the harp for Saul as a young boy. And then, of course, David, after he killed Goliath, remember, Saul has killed his thousands. David killed his 10,000s. Man. So anyway, all the rest of 1 Samuel is Saul trying to kill David, which is interesting. That's not going to happen. Didn't happen. And the Psalms that David wrote, 1 Psalm, 2 Psalm, 3 Psalm, just keep going through the list. All of them was, Lord, deliver me, Lord, deliver me. And he did. Okay, so here we are. Solomon now is king. And he's already in the previous chapters, he already made financial arrangements. Well, he had some money already. He already made delivery orders for all this wood to come down, and here they go. So we're right in the middle of this. He also brought, chapter 4, verse 1, he also made a bronze altar 30 feet long. And I meant to bring a tape measure in, but Phil, you probably can help me. I think, what do you think this is, the width of this? 30 feet. Yes, well, it's all 30, and it's almost square. So this is the bronze. Look at this. This is the bronze altar. This is where all the sacrifices were going to be put, okay? 30 feet wide, 30 feet high, and 15. Man, this is not even 8, you know. Man, this is probably 7.5. We got another 7.5. Anyway, then he forged, this is something else, he forged a huge round tank 15 feet across, rim to rim. So, you know, it's probably about, maybe, well, it'll be half of this. It's a big tank, okay, so it's got to have water in it or something. 7.5 feet above the floor, wow, and 45 feet around, those of you who walked around it. The tank was encircled at its base with two rows of gourd designs cast as part of the tank. Now remember, we're talking, this is the going to be, it's not the tabernacle. Tabernacle was made out of tent, skins and stuff, and you carried it, took it with you. This was a permanent temple. Remember those, this roof is 90 feet high. No, that's wrong, 150 high. The width of the room it was 90. One of the rooms it was. Okay. So here we go. Look at this. The tank stood on 12 metal oxen facing outward, three facing north, three facing west, three facing south, three facing east. So you got oxen underneath this tank that they built here. The walls of the tank were 5 inches thick, flared out with the cup, like the cup of a lily. This was all beautiful design work. It held 3,000 barrels of water. Boy, that's a pretty good sized tank. He also constructed 10 vats for water. What's this for? To wash the offerings. Remember, there's a lot of lambs and oxes and doves and whatever. They're all being sacrificed here. The priests used the tank, not the vats, for their own washing. Carefully following God's instructions. Nah, they were just making this up. No, they had the details. They had what Moses got from the Lord. And then they had further things that they had here. Okay, look at this. Carefully following God's instructions, then he cast the gold lampstands and placed them in the temple, 5 against each wall. He also built 10 tables and placed 5 against each wall on the right and left, and he molded 100 solid gold bowls. Wow. These are the things that Nebuchadnezzar stole in other countries when Israel was going downhill. They came in and stole it. Matter of fact, some of our kings here, they cut deals. Don't kill us. We got some gold in the temple we'll give you. So they gave him the gold. Now, why'd they do that? It's because they weren't worshiping God. God had already promised, no matter who your enemies are, I'll beat them for you. But it all went down after Solomon. Then it goes up, then it goes back down again. Good, it's amazing. We can either love the Lord or we cannot. And that's what you see happening after this. Okay. He constructed a court for the priest, also the public court, overlaid the doors of these courts with bronze. The huge tank was in the southeast corner. Now remember, during Solomon's reign, they had so much gold and silver, it was just littered the town. The roads were, just like we're saying, we got streets of gold. We just, in the previous verse, it said there was so plentiful. This is that guy that was the architect, really skilled guy. His mama was a Jew, remember that? Hammurabi, okay, we'll just call him Harry. Harry also made the necessary pots, shovels, basins for use in connection with the sacrifices. So at last,
He completed the work assigned to him by King Solomon.
The construction, here's those two giant pillars, you know, big giant capitals like we see all over Alabama and different places, even Washington, D.C. The construction of the two pillars, two flared capitals on tops of the pillars, the two sets of chains there. What is this? Oh, this is a spiritual story. No, it's not. We get spiritual stuff out of it. This is the historical record. The 400. This was the work order. 400 pomegranates hanging from the two sets of chains on the capitals. Now, I think these things here were in the previous chapter. I want to say they were 150 feet high. Could have been 90, whatever. The basis for the vats and the vats themselves, the huge tank, we just read, the 12 oxen under it, the pots, the shovels, these things in the Bible. The Bible was written, and it's just talking points. They were smoking dope, and they were on drugs and whatever, and they, you know, it's a bunch of Arabs that just made up all this. Well, you can walk away from the Bible if you believe that. Well, he can at this stage of his life, but that's not true. This stuff is true. This really happened. You can't just walk away. You can't if that's what you've heard all your life. In your little world, because he was trying to explain, dead, you're dead. That's just it. We're just amoebas, and when we die, that's it. You can think in your mind that you'll... No, Paul even wrote in the Bible. Jesus demonstrated it with his own death and resurrection. But anyway, Paul said, if there's no resurrection, we might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for we are of all men most miserable. With no resurrection, we have no hope. But there is hope, praise the Lord. Amen. Fantastic hope. But anyway, look at this. So the skilled craftsman, Harami, made all the above-mentioned items for Solomon using polished bronze. The king did the casting of the clay banks. The king did the casting at the clay banks of the Jordan Valley between Succoth and Zeredah. Great quantities of bronze were used, too heavy to weigh. Wow. Solomon commanded that all of the furnishings of the temple, utensils and the altar, the table of bread, must be made of gold. Good grief. Yeah, this is so fantastic temple. Mercy. And you know, when they lost it all, during the time of Esther and Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember, they were out of towners at that time. But then the order came out in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra, yeah. The king said, and he wasn't even a Jew. He ordered Artaxerxes. He ordered all Jews to go back to Jerusalem to build this thing. And he actually said, why? So you can pray for my sons and their sons. Must be something to this. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, because this all got torn to pieces. Anyway, the floral decorations, the tongs, the lamps, the snuffers, look, all made of gold. Wow. Were all made of solid gold. Even the doorway of the temple, the main door, and the inner doors of the Holy of Holies. Look at that. Overlaid with gold. And we just sang that song. Remember that verse? He says, oh, that there was a place of mercy. Oh, in your place of mercy, may I find release. Well, yeah, this is what's behind that door. Anyway, so here we go. Chapter 5, verse 1. So the temple was finally finished. Then Solomon brought in the gifts dedicated to the Lord by his father, King David. They were stored in the temple treasures. Remember that? We read that the very last part of 1 Chronicles. And David challenged everybody, who's going to do this too? And all the generals brought in a bunch of stuff too, the officers. So Solomon now summoned all Jerusalem, all the leaders of Israel, the heads of the tribes and clans for the ceremony, of transferring the ark. Well, let's see if anybody gets killed. From the tabernacle, see the difference? Tabernacle was a like tent structure in the city of David, also known as Zion, to its new home in the temple. Now remember where the temple was? It was where Ornan's threshing floor. He was in there threshing, and his sons were, and all of a sudden they saw that huge angel coming in, boy, with his sword drawn. They scattered. David ran down there and did a sacrifice. He bought that place. And remember, he said, Ornan said, I'll just give it to you. Nope, I'm going to pay you full price for it because I cannot give the Lord anything that didn't cost me nothing. You know, it's got to cost me something. Anyway, so they're transferring the ark. This celebration took place in October. It shouldn't be a celebration. It should be somber. No, it is a celebration. That's the reason there's so much depression in the church today. We have missed it on this. You look up the word joy in the New Testament just as a search sometime, just to see how much joy, or rejoice. Man, Jesus was a happy person, buddy. The only time we know he wasn't happy one time was in this temple when people were
selling cows and stuff like that. And boy, it ticked him off. This celebration took place, oh my gosh, the drunk people, let's see if they got it right. October, the annual festival of the tabernacle. See, that's an actual genuine every year feast. That tabernacle, this was very simple. This is not hard to figure out because you're supposed to explain to your grandkids. You want that festival of tabernacles? We have trouble with that word. It really, some translations, it's tents. You know, we don't, everybody came down there. You talk about real tailgating, but it was not tailgating till the game played and you went home. You built a little house right there and you acted like this is what great-grandpa, great had to do when they came out of Egypt. They spent the night in these little tents, you know, and they reenacted their escape from Egypt. That's what it was all about. So anyway, as the leaders of Israel watched, oh, they got it right. The Levites lifted the ark and carried it out of the tabernacle along with the other sacred vessels. Wow. Now remember, they were told, Moses, the Lord told them, so Moses wrote it down. Anytime you go to war, get that thing out. Take the trumpets and the priest in front of it and in back of it and y'all go to war. They actually tried to do that at the first of, at this time frame, it was David, I know David wasn't born, but it was within 100 years, and the Philistines stole that ark in the preceding chapters. Anyway, here we go. Solomon and the others sacrificed sheep and oxen before this ark in such numbers that no one tried to keep count. No, whoa, we already have a record when Solomon became king. He had 1,000 of them sacrificed. Boy, this day here was so wild, they didn't even keep track. Then the priests carried the ark, they're going into this glorious structure, into the inner room of the temple, the Holy of Holies, and placed it beneath the angels' wings. Their wings spread over the ark and its carrying poles. Now that tracks exactly with what the design was. Well, that is the ark. Remember, there's going to be inside that ark going to be some manna. There's going to be the rod that Aaron, that budded. So what is that? Go look at the story. They were whining and carrying on. We want to go back to Egypt. All the leaders came out there and Aaron had his rod. They were saying, we're just as good as Aaron. Moses said, well, we're going to show you which ones led supposed to be following the Lord. I mean, doing what the Lord wants to. They all put their rods down and Aaron started growing roses and stuff. They said, that's why they call it the rod that Aaron's rod that budded. It budded for roses or whatever. The ark is still there at the time of this. Do we really believe this happened? Yes. Look at the way they're saying it. Well, at the time this was written. Wow. And matter of fact, this book is going to carry on all the way through about, well, all the kings. So this was written probably 300 years after this event right here happened. Anyway, nothing was in the ark. Oh, here we go. I left out the tablets of stone. Nothing was in the ark except for the two stone tablets that Moses had put there in Horeb. Oh, okay, because the manna was gone, obviously. The manna, probably the stupid Philistines probably tried to eat it and it probably killed them, whatever. All right. When the Lord made the covenant with the people of Israel as they were leaving, that never happened. See how this is so stupid? It's like, well, evolution is the real thing. And we try to fit inside the church to be politically correct. That we agree with science. Science, this place is 4.5 billion years old. Yeah, Methuselah, that's just a joke. You know, Methuselah, that's nothing. It wouldn't matter anyway because the earth is 4.5 billion years old. Why do we have dinosaur real flesh? Why do we have dinosaur real tissues? Why did they all call them dragons? Well, it's because they didn't see dinosaurs. No, the word dinosaur was not invented until 1850. It's the first time it shows up, and it just meant terrible lizard. Anyway, millions of other things. Wow. Anyway, the ice cream cones, I like to call it, in the solar system are called comets. They don't last more than 100,000 years. We still got them. I mean, how come we can still find some? Well, the bozos, they come up with a theory. Well, and it's called the Oort cloud. It's not even proven. It just helps them to keep their stuff going. They say, well, there's something out there. We can't see it. It generates new comets. No, it doesn't either. These are the same comets we've always had. You know, well, the point is, why do we have comets? That's why they say, well, occasionally one gets tossed out from...
They're the ice cream cones, right? Reasons I call ice cream cones go, here's the sun. So when this comet goes around, because it's solid ice, when it goes around the sun, it loses a little bit of that. Matter of fact, there's so many comets, a lot of them go behind, they never come back because the ice cream melts, it's gone. We've only heard of Halley's and the other, but there's a lot of comets out there. But the important thing is why are they still there? There should be zero comets, you know, comets out there. NASA landed on the moon. Remember that? We thought there was going to be so much dust. They thought because, see, they believed millions and millions of years, there'd be so much dust on that planet. They got there and you saw the tracks. The tracks were just very small. Makes you think. Well, at least it ought to make us think that maybe this happened. Yes. You can't, I mean, unless people are playing with it like an ostrich, their head in the sand, there is a nation called Israel, you know. There was somebody here called Jesus. So anyway, so back to this again. With the people of Israel as they were leaving Egypt. So in other words, these were, what did it say? Yeah, the two stone tablets. Wow. You mean that story really happened? I thought that was a... No, it happened. And remember, this is the second set. The first set, what happened? Moses comes down the mountain. A lot of people standing around naked, worshiping a cow. And he crashes, so he breaks them, you know. Anyway, the priest had undergone... Oh, no, when the priest had undergone the purification rites for themselves, they took part in the ceremonies without regard to their normal duties and how the Levites were praising... Look at that. And how the Levites were praising the Lord as the priest came out of the holies of holies. Can you imagine that? The ark just got in there. They come out going, we've done it. The singers were, look at the list. The singers were Bill and Janet and Laura and Paula. I mean, these are real people, what I'm saying, okay? Were Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and all their sons. And look at that, dressed in fine spun linen clothes, standing at the east side of the altar. The choir was accompanied by 120 priests who were trumpeters. Good grief, look at this. Watch what happens here. While the others played cymbals and lyres and harps, the band and chorus united as one to praise and thank the Lord. See, now that's what we can do. We don't have to see the temple. I can think about it, but what can I do? I can praise and thank the Lord. That, man, I can be part of the Bible. Their selections were interspersed with trumpet obbligatos. See if you know anything about music and things. And that's where that word come from. It's just a song. The clashing of cymbals and the loud playing of other musical instruments, all praising and thanking the Lord. Their theme was, I can do this too. He is good. His loving kindness lasts forever. Amen. I know real famous minister. Well, it's John Osteen. You probably heard of John Osteen's son. What's his name? Joel. Joel's still on TV, whatever. I love his dad. I like Joel too, but I've always just listened to his dad years ago. And his dad got all the way to end of life, and I just got to see something that he said. It was, man, it was just, you're just old, you know. And you know what? It was funny. So they were asking about, well, how are you dealing with this? And you know what he said? He said, his mercy endures forever. That's what you want on your breath. You want that on your breath. Praise God. He's good. His mercy endures forever. Anyway, oh my goodness. And at that moment, the glory of the Lord. Now that means it's just, this is, Jesus' clothes started shining. And this is what's going on. Well, notice here's the bright cloud. The glory of the Lord coming as a bright cloud filled the temple so that the priest, like this, it all got shut down. Something happened here. Well, I mean, this is, no. I remember if you take the theatrical or the miracle, you take the miracles out of the Bible, we may as well go home because it's all fake. This is not fake. The splitting of the sea, the resurrection of Jesus, all the people he raised from the dead, you know, man. Lazarus and a whole bunch of others, the funeral that Jesus stopped. He stopped it and he got the little boy out. Oh my goodness. Jairus' daughter. When are we going to say the miracles? How can we just say these? Anyway, so, whoa. The whole temple just saw, okay, here we go. So what happened next? This prayer prayed by Solomon on that occasion. Okay, so this happened right then. Let's see what he says. Because we got a copy of it. We might can use some of it. Yes, you will. The Lord has said that he would live in thick darkness, but I've made a temple for you, O Lord, to live in forever. And that was Solomon talking. I made a temple, okay? Then the king turned around to the people, and they stood to receive his blessing. All bless you. No, this is real. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, he said.
He said to them, the God who talked personally to my father David and has now fulfilled his promise he made to him. For he told him, I have never before since bringing my people from the land of Egypt. Gee, they got to quit saying that. Oh, it is true. Chosen a city anywhere in Israel as a location. No, he has chosen a city anywhere in Israel as the location of my temple where my name will be glorified. And never before have I chosen the king for my people Israel. But now I have chosen Jerusalem as that city and David as that king. Boy, you zoom ahead to Jesus and remember the old, like, Savior, do not pass me by. Son of David, have mercy on me, the blind man said. Okay, my father David wanted to build this temple. That's tracking what we just read in the previous chapters. But the Lord said, not do it. It was good to have the desire, the Lord told him, but he's not the one to build it. His son was chosen for that task. And now the Lord has done what he promised, for I have become king in my father's, place. And I have built the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel and placed the ark there. Now, there's some cool stuff. We're going to stop in this chapter because I believe we'll get it all right here. Watch this. Yeah, we think. Okay. As he spoke, Solomon was standing before the people on a platform in the center of the outer court in front of the altar of the Lord. Now notice this, he didn't say, well, I'm not good with words. I'm going to have my chaplain do this for me because I'm not a praying man. Even when you watch Jimmy Stewart do that, he was a praying man on Wonderful Life. That was such a great movie. What was the name of that angel? I just said his name. Jimmy Stewart said sort of a fallen angel, aren't you? What was that angel's name? So, Ernest or something? I forgot, whatever. Every time you hear a bell, an angel got his wings. Whatever. Anyway, as he spoke, Solomon was standing before the people on a platform in the center of the outer court in front of the altar of the Lord. The platform was made of... What do we... We don't need to know that. Yeah, we do. Because it's the historical record. This is like reading Encyclopedia Britannica. The platform was made of bronze, 7.5 feet square, 4.5 feet high. Now as all the people watched, he knelt and reached out... Don't embarrass yourself, Solomon. This is all fake. No, it was real. Solomon, can you not believe that he did this? Whoa. Now, as all the people watched, he knelt and he reached out his arms toward heaven and prayed this prayer. We might need it. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in all heaven and earth. You are the God who keeps his kind promises. Look at that. Is there a promise? Yes, and it would do us good to find out whatever he always said and whatever he said. To those who obey you and are anxious to do your will. And we've kept your promise to my... What does it say? Yeah. So you have kept your promise to my father David as evident today. And now, O God of Israel, carry out your further promise to him that your descendants shall always reign in Israel if they will obey my laws as you have. Yes, Lord God of Israel, please fulfill this promise. But will God really live upon earth with men? Why, even the heavens... See, he knew... Even the heaven and the heavens of heavens, they cannot contain the Lord. He knew it, didn't he? How much less this temple? I mean, come on, y'all. I'm going to build you a box, Lord. You know, even though it's glorious. I mean, come on. God made everything, but yet he looks like us. How I pray that you will heed my prayers. O Lord my God, listen to my prayer that I'm praying to you now. Look down with favor day and night upon this temple. Boy, watch what comes. This helps us so much. And it's going to help all of us in this room and everybody that hears this, because you'll remember, I need to go look that up again. What did Solomon say? Look down with favor in day and night upon this temple, upon this place where you have said that you would put your name. May you always hear and answer the prayers that I pray to you as I face this place. And that's what Daniel did. Remember when Daniel got kicked out? He's over there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And every day, Daniel opened up his window and he faced that temple. It's not like the Muslims in Mecca. We're not studying them. This is the real God. Listen to my prayers and to those of your people Israel when they pray toward this temple. Uh-oh, that'd be us. Yes, hear us from heaven. And when you hear, look at that. Forgive. He knew that. Because, see, we beat ourselves up thinking, well, I'm not going in there. Why would the Lord help me? Go sing that song again. Savior, do not pass me by. And let it be you. Yeah, Lord, I know on others thou art calling, but don't pass me by. You've got to say that. It's a personal relationship. You've got to say, I'm going to. I got to have your help. And you will be shocked. He will help you. Look at this. Whenever someone commits a crime and he's required to swear his innocence before this altar, then hear from heaven and punish him if he's lying, or else declare him innocent. If your people are destroyed for their, look at this, before their enemies because they've sinned against you, and if they turn to you, look at this, and call themselves your people and pray to you here in this temple, then listen to them from heaven and forgive their sins and give them back their land. Where have we heard that? Can we flip it to the King James? That's that verse. If my people, which are called by my name. That's it. Let's flip it to the King James. Verse 24. And if thy people be put put to worse to the enemies. Am I still in the King? Yeah, that's not that chat. It's the same thing, but it's not the verse. But anyway, where's that one at? If my people, whatever. Okay. Regardless, it's still the same thing because it's the same story. Anyway, listen to them from heaven, forgive their sins, and give them back their land. Look at this. When the skies are shut up, in other words, this is no matter what your problems are. When the skies are shut up and there's no rain because of our sins, and we turn toward this temple and claim you as our God and turn from our sins because you've punished us, then listen from heaven, forgive the sins of your people, teach them what is right, and send rain upon this land that you've given to your people as their own property. If there's famine in the land, plague, crop, disease. See, I'm Southern Baptist, my background. I wish they had taught us this. I'm glad Jesus brought it up to me as I grew up. I was learning. I thought that we were just on our own here. No, famine, plague, crop, disease, locusts, caterpillars, or if your people's enemies are in the land besieging our cities. Whatever the trouble is. Look at that. Listen. Look at this. Listen to every individual's prayer concerning his private sorrow, oh my gosh, as well as all the public prayers. Do you see the difference? There's mass prayer, and then there's little old me. Yeah. Hear from heaven where you live, forgive, and give each one whatever he deserves. For you know the hearts of all mankind. Then they will reverence you and you forever, and will continually walk where you tell them to go. And when the foreigners, look at this, when the foreigners hear of your power and they come from distant lands, Queen of Sheba, remember that? Your great name, and to pray toward this temple, look at this, hear them from heaven where you live, look at that, and do what they request of you. That's a little bit too steep. No, it's not. Then all the peoples of the earth will hear of your fame and will reverence you. You know, this is exactly what Jesus said in John chapter, I'll use John 16. Whatsoever asks the Father in my name, he'll give it you. And he goes on to say that the Father get glory. Gosh. Anyway, it's like you just can't shut up because you know how you got a problem fixed. And that's what the Lord wants. Psalm 50 says that. I want everybody everywhere to call on me. I want you to call on me when you're in trouble so I can get you out and I will get glory. Okay. Anyway, just as your people Israel do, and they too will know that this temple I have built is truly yours. Wow. So in other words, let's just don't make this a fake place. It's going to be real. If your people go out at your command to fight their enemies, then they pray toward this city of Jerusalem that you have chosen and this temple that I have built for your name. Then hear their prayers. Look at that. And give them success. He didn't say, well, you know, if it be thy will, maybe we'll win against the Syrians. Hopeless. And if it be your will, you know, maybe my washer and dryer will work. You know. No, do like Phil did. Praise the Lord. And the Lord take care of your washer and dryer. It's a miracle. Expect a miracle. You know, Richard, this is a car. It's probably, you know, I've heard all these things. We're not supposed to worship money. Huntsville Utility only takes money. You can't take a cow up there and say, would you pay my bill with this cow? The farmer better answer if you do that. It takes money. God will get it for you. If they sin against you, look at this. And who hadn't? That good? And you become angry and you let their enemies defeat them and take away as captives to some foreign nation. Now remember, he only did that because you worship idols. We're not going to do that. Jesus is it. Look at that. But if in that land, here comes that verse I was looking for, I believe. Oh, yeah. And if in that land of exile they turn to you again and face toward this land you gave their fathers and this city and your temple I built, and they plead with you with all their hearts to forgive them, then hear from heaven where you live and help them and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Yes, oh my God, be wide awake and attentive to all the prayers.
You don't really think God hears every...
Yeah. No, I don't mind throwing Santa Claus in there. We need to start believing. I mean, you know what I mean? You tell a child to sit in Santa Claus's lap, you know, and that's okay. We're helping. You can take the same thing and tell a child when he becomes a teenager later and say, listen, don't you remember sitting in Santa Claus's lap? Well, yeah, it was really me, and I knew about it, and I took care of you. God is so much better than me and Santa Claus. I can't fix this for you, you're telling your son or maybe your friend or your daughter or whatever. Anyway, be wide awake and attentive to the prayers that are made in this place. And now, O Lord God, arise and enter this resting place of yours where the ark of your strength has been placed. Look what he calls it, the ark of your strength. Yeah. Let your priest, O Lord, be clothed with salvation. I mean, that means deliverance. It doesn't mean, well, we're going to go to heaven. It means, anyway. Oh, let your people, look at that. Today, I don't care. I know we get distracted with some big problems. But look at that. He said, let your people rejoice in your kind deeds. You got to get it that I'm going to make it today. I'm going to be all right. And then he says, oh, Lord, don't ignore me. Don't turn your face away from me, your anointed one. Oh, remember your love for David and your kindness to him. And yeah, we'll stop right there. Let's get the first sentence just so we know what's going to happen next. Yeah, he's silent. Oh, look at that. We better catch that. Look at that. When he finished praying, look at that. Look at that. Well, I thought it was just Elijah. Look at that. When he finished praying, good grief, fire flashed down from heaven, burned up the sacrament. Don't you know what happened to all the Israelites? They were probably going, oh, my great-granddaddy told a story about this. What? Solomon built that temple. We were all there. Solomon had just prayed. He was down on this big pulpit. He had his hands raised. And all of a sudden, when he was finished, it like blew him off the stage. Because all of a sudden, I can't explain it, but I'm telling you, all the miracles that happened in Egypt, this was no less, no different. Fire came down. Look at this. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Look at that. The priest couldn't even go in there. Well, we can't go in there now. All the people have been watching, and now they look at that. They hit the ground. And they worshiped and thanked the Lord. Look what they said. He is good. He's always so loving and kind. Wow. Man. All right, we're going to stop right there. Isn't that something? It's hard to stop. It's just like watching a video and say, let's stop history right now because it's like a video. Well, how are you going to stop it? Father, we thank you for your word today. We know that, Lord, if we're not feeling good in our bodies, you'll take care of that. How awesome are you? You made our bodies, no matter what they are. Keep us all well. Like you've been helping our eyes and stuff and whatever may be the problem is, you've just fixed it. Same thing's true financially. Praise God, you'll take care of that. And no matter what we're faced with, Lord, if it's something else on our heart, help us there. We just thank you that you will. So, Lord, that doesn't leave anything left but for us to write down things and remember the things you did so we tell others what you've done for us as we tell about Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, we did get 34 minutes. Good.